إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this our third lecture in our series, from the book A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, li-i'tiqad al-ta'if al-naji al-mansura, the distinguishing signs of the established sunnah, yani the landmarks along the road of the aqidah, the creed, of the victorious saved group. In this book, we are going to take a few topics that are all related to al-iman billahi, yani faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that entail? What does it require? What does it mean? In the first class, we dealt with the introduction to the book itself and matters related to the topic and the importance of it. And last week, we began with the first of the questions on this topic, dealing with al-Iman. Question number 36, what is Iman? And also, we went into the beginning of the proofs and evidences related to that definition of Iman. Before we take the questions that were remaining from last week, before we deal with those questions and our discussion concerning them, we'd like to look at just the first two questions that we had in the study guide from last week, from study guide number 2, lecture number 2. We'll look at the first two questions and discuss them before going on to complete the third question, which we didn't complete last week. So, the first question from last week's lecture, number 2, was question number 36. Ma huwa al-Iman? What is Iman? What is faith? And then we had added for some clarity, please explain what is meant by speech and actions of the heart. What do we mean by speech of the heart? What do we mean by actions of the heart? And also, what is meant by speech and actions of the tongue? What is meant by speech of the tongue? And what is meant by actions of the tongue? Okay, so we'll start with general answer to this question. The general answer, and that is the answer that Al-Allama, Al-Shaykh, Hafiz, Al-Hakami, Rahimahullah, the answer that he gave to the question that he placed. What is Al-Iman. Naam. Okay, let's start in the front. Naam, Ismail.
It is a belief in the heart, statement of the tongue, action of the limbs. It increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience.
Tayyib, you say that it is belief in the heart, speech of the tongue, and actions of the limbs. It increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. Tayyib. No doubt, this is probably the general definition that has been given by the scholars of the people of Sunnah. The answer that we had, though, last week was yani a little bit different, and that is, he began with just a general definition, and then he gave some explanation of it. Naam, Ahmed.
He began with Iman is speech and action.
Iman is speech and action. Iman is speech and action. That's the general definition that he gave. Naam. And then he gave some further explanation.
Speech of the heart and action of the heart.
Speech of the heart and actions of that. Is that how he said it?
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh.
And then speech of the tongue and action of the tongue.
And then speech of the tongue. An action of the tongue, uh-huh.
Also action of the limbs.
And action of the limbs, uh-huh. And then he went on with two more points.
It increases
how?
With acts of obedience.
And decreases?
Acts of disobedience.
With acts of disobedience.
And people of Iman differ in their levels of Iman.
And the people of Iman differ in their levels of Iman. And either completion or the perfection or the superiority of some of them over others. And the mu'minun, they are not all the same. They are not all on the same level of iman. Naam. They differ, they vary. Naam. Tayyib. That's the definition that Hafiz Hakami, Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, gave. And that is the definition that I mentioned last week that came directly from Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. That was the definition that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah gave in his book, Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah. And then I mentioned that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in explaining Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, gave us some details of this answer of Hafiz Hakami. Somebody, Naam, Ibrahim. Speech of the heart is confession of the heart, okay? The confession, acknowledgement, now.
Acknowledging La ilaha illallah.
Acknowledging La ilaha illallah.
Or the arkan
of Iman. Yani the six pillars of Iman, now. Speech.
Now. The action of the heart, there's different actions of the heart, like ikhlas.
Okay, he said actions of the heart, there are different actions of the heart, like ikhlas, now.
Tawakkul,
trust. Putting your trust in Allah, now.
Nah, doing things only for the sake of Allah.
Doing things only for the sake of Allah. Now. Anybody else want to add to that anything? Now.
Love too.
Huh?
To love Allah.
To love Allah. Now. Love. Now. It's from the actions of the heart. Now. Huh?
Khashya. Having awe of fear.
Khashya. Now. Now. All of this is from the heart. Now. Now. Stop right there. Are you still on the same point? Okay, before we go to the tongue, heart, right? Speech of the heart, actions of the heart. It's important that we understand this. Not just that we repeat the words that the Shaykh rahimahullah has given, but rather that we understand it. What does it mean of speech of the heart? What does it mean of actions of the heart? Okay? It's important that when you read it, you dwell on it, reflect upon it, and try to understand what does it mean. What is the speech of the heart? And does the heart actually speak? Do you hear something? No. But speech of the heart refers to what? It refers to, yani, naam, confession, yani, iqrar, or i'tiraf, or tasdeeq, that a person, that the heart actually acknowledges, confirms the truthfulness of this aqidah of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, believing in Allah and angels and the books and the prophets and so on, arkan of iman, sitta, that the heart acknowledge, agrees to, testifies to the truthfulness of this, naam. As far as the actual, that is the speech of the heart. But what is the action of the heart? Is the heart doing something? The Shaykh said it's taharruk or harakat. Yani the movement, activity of the heart. The movement or activity of the heart. Yani that the irada of the heart. That the heart, there's in the heart a will to do something. And it moves towards doing that. He said, for example, like having ikhlas in your deeds. And that when you do something physically, that in the heart wills that it be done purely for the sake of Allah alone. So the irada, that's movement, that's activity, that's action of the heart. The will to do something. The sincerity in doing the action. The sincerity is in the heart. That's the movement of the heart. That's the activity of the heart. That's the action of the heart. Okay? And he gave other examples like tawakkul, or muhabba, or khawf, or khashya, or whatever. All those things are actions of the heart. And inshallah, if possible, I would like to send something to the class. And I didn't have a chance to get it together, but I think we have something available that deals with the topic of the actions of the heart. And this is something that we should read about. We should know what are the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart are the greater actions, greater than the actions of the body, the limbs of the body. The actions of the heart are the greater actions. And we should know what they are, and then we should engage in them. If we know what they are, then we should act upon them. We should practice them. We should actively seek to do these actions. In the same way that we try to make salat five times a day. Or we try to fast whenever we can. Or we do charity or whatever. The actions of the heart are more important than those things. And we should be engaging in them. Okay, as far as the tongue. Now, the speech and the action of the tongue. Now, somebody else. Speech and action of the tongue. Type, Ahmed.
Speech of the tongue, such as pronouncing the shahadatain.
The speech of the tongue, such as pronouncing the shahadatain, naam. Naam. Or takbir and so on. Like the things that you say, the actual speech that's heard, that's the speech of the tongue. What is the action of the tongue?
The movement of the tongue.
The movement of the tongue. The tongue's movement. The tongue has to move in order to produce sound if a person is able to speak, if they have the ability to speak. So the movement of the tongue, that's the action of the tongue. The actual Speech of the tongue is the sound that is produced by that movement that you hear. Okay? And these points are points that we should reflect upon. Alhamdulillah, we mentioned them last week, and I intended to read this explanation from the explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah last week. And I said, in case we didn't get to it, I would just mention it in passing. So we mentioned it, but we never got back to it. And I said, please remind me somebody so that, in case I forget, and nobody reminded me. In any case, if anybody has a translation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, inshallah, you'll find there, under the topic of Iman, what is Iman? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah talking about Iman is speech and action. And then he defines it further by saying that it is the speech of the heart and the tongue, and the actions of the heart and the tongue. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, explains what those things mean, is what, this, just as we have just talked about just now. What actually is the speech of the heart? What is the action of the heart? And so on. And I think we should go back and read it. But for the sake of time, we missed it last week, we'll pass it, inshallah. We discussed it, I mean in brief, but I wanted to read it. But in any case, maybe some other time we might have a chance. But time is upon us now. Okay, second question. Question number 37 from the book. What is the evidence that it includes speech and action? That is, what is the evidence that Iman includes both speech and action? And the Shaykh, he gave a number of evidences. He gave five different evidences, pretty much, or types of evidences. And if anybody can give us one of them. Naam. I want to look somewhere else. I don't see anybody hands. Musa. Surah al-Hujurat. What number is the surah?
49.
Okay, 49.
49:7.
7. Okay, Surah al-Hujurat. Now, what is the ayah there? Now. Okay, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَلَكِنْ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made Iman endeared to you, to the believers. وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And He has made detestable, hateful to you, الْكُفْرُ, disbelief, وَالْفُسُوقُ. And الْفُسُوقُ, the scholars of Tafsir, like Ibn Kathir and others said, فُسُوقُ means الذنوب الكبار, the major sins. Fusuq means the major sins. والعصيان, it means سعر الذنوب. يعني ما دون ذلك. يعني the rest of the sins which are less than the major sins. So Allah, He made this detestable to us. He hated for the believers what? Kufr, disbelief. Fusuq, major sins. And عصيان, the rest of the sins, the minor sins. He made this hateful to us. Now, this is one of the evidences that He gave. And we also asked to explain how these two, this particular ayah, how did the Shaykh, yani how, what was his, yani intention by using this ayah? What was the, how is this a proof that Iman includes speech and action? How is this ayah a proof? If somebody can explain this to us, it's a little bit, yani detailed, but now, Ahmed.
In the ayah, Allah made Iman general.
He made Iman general, okay. So that all acts of obedience are part of Iman. Now,
we talked about Kufr and Fusuq and Alishan. He broke them up to show the difference and the difference in them and how one is not the other.
So he differentiated between Al Kufr, Al Fusuq, Al Isyan. Now, so what he's saying is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He talks about two things, acts of obedience and acts of disobedience. As far as the acts of disobedience, there are different types of acts of disobedience. Some of them are kufr and some of them are not. So he classified them under kufr, those which are kufr. And then he made another classification of those which are not kufr. But they are major sins though. Al-fusuq. But they are not kufr. So he distinguished between that which is kufr from disobedience and that which is not kufr from disobedience. And then he said there's a third category. That's not kufr, nor is it from the major sins. And he called that isyan, the minor sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished between these different types of disobedience. Some of it is kufr, some of it is not, but it's major sins. And some of it is not kufr or major sins, but rather, it's minor sins. As far as acts of obedience, Allah didn't distinguish between them. He didn't say that some of them are iman, and there are other acts of obedience that are not part of iman. That are just the major obligatory duties, the fara'id. And then there are others that are not from the fara'id, the obligatory duties. He didn't say that. He didn't distinguish between them. But rather, he mentioned them mujmal, as though they're all together. And that all acts of obedience are part of iman. And this proves that every act of obedience, whether it's speech or whether it's action, whether it's from the major acts of obedience or minor or otherwise, all of it is a part of iman. He didn't make any distinction between them. But he said that he mentioned the iman as though every act of obedience is a part of iman. And this proves to us that every act of obedience is a part of iman, no matter whether it's speech or action or whatever, whether it's from the heart or the tongue or the limbs, whether it's something done openly or secretly, all of it is a part of iman. So this explanation of this ayat is one of the best proofs, although it's not the clearest, because a person has to reflect upon it to understand that. But if you look at it, it becomes crystal clear. This is the proof that iman includes speech and action. Another proof that the Shaykh gave. Surah Baqarah. Ayah? 143. And what do we have in that ayah? Meaning?
Allah would never make your iman to be lost.
Allah would never make your iman to be lost. What is the context of this ayah? Who knows what's the context of this ayah? What is this ayah talking about? Before he said, Allah would not make your iman to be lost. Ismail.
He's talking about the salah and the changing of the qibla.
Okay, he's talking about the context of the ayah is the changing of the qibla. That Allah did not make that qibla which you were facing, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا. We didn't make the qibla that you were facing, except to make clear those who would follow the messenger from those who would turn back on their heels. Meaning it was a test, it was a trial, to see if the qibla was changed to another direction, would the people continue to follow the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or would they turn away and apostate? So it was a trial, it was a test. Allah made it for that reason. And then he said, when the qibla was changed, some of the people started asking a question. What about the people who died praying to the other qibla? What about that? What about their salat? Would it be lost? And Allah said, what? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ يُضِيعَ إِمَانَكُمْ. Allah would not make your iman to be lost, to be wasted, to be futile. He would not do that. But He called the salat by the name of iman. And that's the key. That He called the salat. He said He would not, He didn't say He would not cause your salat, which was performed to before the qibla was changed to Jerusalem. He didn't say he would not cause your salat to be lost. He said he would not cause your iman to be lost. Iman meaning what? Your salat. So salat is iman. And salat includes what? Speech. Actions of the limb. Speech of the tongue. Actions of the limb. And also the heart. The heart. Naam. The heart. It requires the heart. It requires ikhlas. It requires khushu'. It requires the heart to participate in this. It requires the tongue to participate in it. Recitation of ayahs from the Quran or dhikr or dua. It requires the limbs for bowing and standing and prostrating and sitting. So the salat is the perfect example of iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah, He will not cause your iman to be lost, He will not cause your salat to be lost. So this is also a great proof that the Shaykh gave. And you can read this explanation of it in the book here. You can also read the Tafsir Ibn Kathir or the other books of Tafsir from the scholars of Sunnah. That this is the meaning of this ayah. Now, what other proof did the Shaykh give? He gave some other proofs. Just in brief, quickly, other proofs that he gave. Now, Musa.
Also the hadith.
He gave a hadith.
Yeah.
Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't mention, the Shaykh didn't mention the hadith. He referred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that these things were iman. He referred to a number of things and he said these things are iman. From amongst them is loving your brother, or loving for your brother what you love for yourself. And what?
Haya.
Al-haya min al-iman. Al-sadaqah, zakat, siyam, standing in Laylatul Qadr, jihad, the khumus from the spoils of war, and so on. And the Shaykh mentioned these things that the Prophet ﷺ has declared that all of these things are iman in a number of hadith. But the Shaykh doesn't mention the hadith. He just says that the Prophet has done so. And we said that you can find those hadith in Bukhari. If you look in the volume 1 of Bukhari, in the book of Iman, you will find a lot of chapters where Imam Bukhari said that Al-Zakat min al-Iman, Al-Siyam min al-Iman, standing in the night, Laylatul Qadr is min al-Iman, and so on. A lot of chapters in the book of Iman. So the Shaykh used this as a proof that these he referred to, but he didn't mention the actual hadith, he referred to the Prophet ﷺ considering or classifying these things as Iman, showing us that Iman is not just a conviction in the heart, rather it's more than that, it's actions and speech and so on. Now, another proof that the Sheikh gave. Now, somebody else. Now, Ibrahim. Surah Al-A'raf.
Therefore, believe in Allah and His Messenger.
This is the meaning of the Shahadatain, the two Shahadas. Naam. That this ayat, he said, is also a proof of Iman. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. Proof of Iman. That Iman includes speech and action. Because this is the meaning of the Shahadatain, that a person declares on their tongue these statements of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, believe in Allah and His Messenger, and also they believe it in their heart. And in order for it to be accepted, it has to be, the conviction has to be in the heart, and the person has to pronounce it on their tongue. And the last evidence that the Shaykh gave, okay, in any case, now, Musa. He said, what is afdal al-a'mal? What is the best of your deeds? He said, it is having iman in Allah and His Messenger. This is like the ayah preceding it. Okay. So this is the essence and the summary of what we covered last week, and we spent some time with it tonight, more than normal, and that is because of the importance of the subject. And that it is incumbent upon us to strive and struggle and make some effort to read and reread and review and reflect upon these points, because this is the foundation of the whole matter, Iman. There's nothing more important than Iman in this deen of Allah. There's nothing more important than Iman. You have nothing without it. And it's incumbent upon us to know what is Iman. It's not just faith. What is Iman? Faith. Iman is belief. That's it? Iman is conviction. It's more than that. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that. For further details concerning this topic, I refer you to At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajrat al-Iman, the clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith by Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi. Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, the tree of faith. This is a very, very important book. And in the beginning of it, the whole first section of the book is dealing with the definition of Iman. The whole first section of the book is dealing with the definition of Iman and the proofs and evidences for that definition. Much more comprehensive than what we have discussed so far. But in any case, alhamdulillah, we have the foundation here. And Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi gives us some further points. And there are a lot of other books that talk about this. From amongst them is The Fundamentals of Iman by Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Small book, maybe less than 100 pages, The Fundamentals of Iman. Also an excellent book, and there are others. Alhamdulillah, there are many from the scholars of the people of Sunnah. Tayyib, as far as tonight, our topic tonight, or our questions for tonight, we want to go back a little bit to where we left off last week, and that is with question number 38. Naam. What is the evidence that Iman increases and decreases? What is the evidence that Iman increases and decreases? And we pretty much came to the end of what the Shaykh mentioned this, so we just review it quickly. He mentioned a number of ayats, from amongst them in Surah Al-Fath 48:4, and Surah Al-Kahf 18:13, and Surah Al-Maryam 19:76, and Surah Al-Muhammad 47:17, and Surah Al-Mudathir 74:31. Mentioned a number of ayats, okay? So we mentioned those ayats and we came to the end of them, to the place where the Shaykh was mentioning the hadith. And we want to read this hadith and we want to add to it a few other points that are not in the book, but inshallah are beneficial for us to understand the point of Iman, the proof of the reality, of the truth, that Iman increases and decreases. Those ayats, whoever reads them, it will become clear to you that Iman does increase and decrease. And from the, to me, in any case, what as I see it, from the best of those ayats, and all of them, mashallah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as clarity, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Fath 48:4, the saying of Allah, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. That He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who sent down as-sakina, the tranquility, upon the hearts of the believers, upon the hearts of the people of Iman. لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. So that they will be increased in Iman, مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ, with the Iman that they already have. This is a clear proof that people had Iman and Allah gave them increase in Iman by what? By sending down a sakina fi قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, in the hearts of the believers. Tremendous ayat. Now, and also, from amongst those ayats, I'll mention one other And of course, all of them are beneficial, no doubt. Surah At-Tawbah 9:124, where the Shaykh mentions, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. As far as for those who believe, it has increased them in iman. What is it? The sending down of a surah. وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا. And whenever a surah is revealed, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ, whenever a surah was sent down of the Qur'an, there was amongst them some people who would say, مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا, which one of you has been increased in iman by this? And the hypocrites would say this to the people, whose iman was increased by this? And Allah answered them in this ayat. He said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. That as for those who believe, it has increased them in faith while they are rejoicing. يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And after these ayats, the Shaykh mentioned a hadith. He says, وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. And there are other ayats besides these, so many. نعم. He said, وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَكُونُونَ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالَةٍ كَحَالَتِكُمْ عِنْدِي لَصَافَحَتْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That if you would remain فِي كُلِّ حَالَةٍ, in every situation or circumstance, كَحَالَتِكُمْ عِنْدِي, in the same way that you are when you are with me, if you was that like that in every situation or circumstance, all the time, every day, day and night, لَصَافَحَتْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels would shake hands with you. The angels. What kind of iman is that? The iman that they had when they were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Hanzalah said in the hadith, that when you remind us of the Jannah and the, as though we are seeing it, like in reality with our eyes. And of course, how is their iman then? The person seeing the Jannah and the Na'ah. They have the iman that will put them in the level with angels. Angels will be shaking hands with them. They won't be down here on earth with the people, they'll be with the angels in the heavens. That's how the iman would be. He said, when we go home with our children and our wives and our livelihood, and we don't be like that no more. We forget a lot. We forgot all that. The hadith is in the book. I should read the hadith at least quickly, so that, you know, whoever doesn't have the book, inshallah, you get the full benefit. The hadith is related by Imam Muslim from Hanzala al-Usaydi radiallahu anhu. He said, and Hanzala, he was one of the kuttab, one of the scribes of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I met Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said to him, كيف أنت يا حنظلة? How are you? How are you doing, يا حنظلة? He said, I said, نافق حنظلة. حنظلة has become a hypocrite, a munafiq. To that level, his iman went down like that. And he said, حنظلة has become a hypocrite. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, SubhanAllah, ما تقوله? SubhanAllah, what are you saying? What kind of kalam is this? You'll become a hypocrite. Hypocrite is a kafir. He said, and Hanzala said, I said to him, when we're with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's reminding us of the hellfire and the paradise. It is as though we are seeing it with our eyes. But when we go out from him, from the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're playing with our wives and our children and dealing with our livelihood, فَنَسِينَا كَثِيرًا, then we forget a lot. And Abu Bakr said, wallahi, same thing is happening to us. We're experiencing the same thing like you. When we were the Messenger of Allah, we like that. When we go home, we're not like that no more. So they went. That is, Hanzala and Abu Bakr, until they entered upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I, Hanzala, said to the Messenger of Allah, he said, نَافَقَ Hanzala ya Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah, Hanzala has become a hypocrite. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَمَا ذَاكَ. So the Messenger of Allah said to him, what is this? What are you saying? I said, Ya Rasulullah, when we are with you and you're reminding us of the hellfire and the paradise, it is as though we reached the point as though we are seeing it with our eye, with our sight. But when we go out from your presence and we go with our wives and play with our children and our livelihood, we forget a lot. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. This kind of statement from the Messenger of Allah is not to be taken lightly. The Prophet ﷺ, he's not like the people today just swearing by everything. Wallahi, 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 on anything. They say just wallahi, like nothing. No, the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, he doesn't say wallahi, walladhi nafsi biyadihi, except there's a tremendous something statement coming after this. Tremendous statement coming after this. He swears by Allah, the one in whose hand is my soul. لو تدومون على ما تكونون عندي وفي الذكر لصافحتكم الملائكة على فرشكم وفي طرقكم ولكن يا حنظرة ساعة وساعة ثلاث مرات. He said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, if you were to remain constantly, لو تدومون على ما تكونون, in this condition that you are in when you are with me and in the remembrance of Allah and dhikr, if you remain in that condition all the time, لَصَافَحَتْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels will shake hands with you on your beds and in the roads. And in another narration that's reported by Imam Ahmed, this narration is a Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَكُونُونَ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ عَلَى الْحَالِ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهَا عَنْدِي, that if you were to remain in every situation or circumstance in the condition that you are in when you are with me, لَصَافَحَتْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ بِأَكُفِّهِمْ, the angels will shake hands with their palms. They will shake hands with you with their palms of their hands. Angels will shake hands with you. وَلَزَارَتُكُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ, and angels would visit you in your homes. You remain in that condition all the time. But the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَكِنْ يَحَنْظَلَ سَاعَةً وَسَاعَةً, however, O Hanzala, سَاعَةً وَسَاعَةً, and he repeated it three times. There's a time for this and a time for that. Meaning there's a time for playing with your children and being with your wives, your spouse, and dealing with your livelihood. There's a time for that. That's permissible, that's lawful, that's expected of you to do that. Naam, that's normal. There's a time for this and a time for that. But when you do that, then the rest of the time, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the remembrance of Allah, for dhikr and dua and salat, and worshiping Allah, the rest of the time. Because Allah didn't create you for anything except to worship Him. And He has made lawful for you to have a spouse and to have children and to attend to them and to enjoy them and to make a livelihood. Now it's obligatory upon you to do that. So there's a time for that. That's permissible. That's all right. You're going to do that. You're supposed to do that. But then there's a time for the worship of Allah. And that's the rest of the time belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't become overwhelmed in the seeking of the dunya and forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't become overwhelmed, engaged, attracted, yani distracted by the enjoyment of the pleasures of the world and forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if those were the best of people and they were distracted by the lawful enjoyment of their families, what about us? What about us? What do you think it would do to us? If it made a person like Hanzala radiallahu anhu, a great, great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it made him feel like he became a hypocrite, that's how his iman went down, then what do you think happens to us? Wallahi, just look at your own self. You don't have to look at anybody else. Each one has to look at their self. If you didn't experience this, then you're not truthful. Because yes, there's times. You might be in salat in the night, or you might be fasting in Ramadan outside of Ramadan, or you might be doing some good deed or something, reading Quran, reflecting on something in the Quran that really affects your heart, and your iman is high, you feel strong. And then another time, you feel like you're depressed. Well, not depressed, but I'm saying you'd be down. You'd be like, tired, man. I don't feel like doing nothing. You know, you don't open the Quran, you just barely go to the masjid to make salat, drag yourself to the masjid. There's a difference. Naam. This is the nature of the human being. And this is the reality of iman, that it increases and decreases. And this hadith is a clear proof of that, that iman increases and decreases. And Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, has some, you know, comments concerning this hadith, but for the sake of time, we'll skip. Now, I just wanted to add to this some points, okay? Yani from other sources, and some of the scholars mentioned, for example, the hadith that's reported by Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِن نَاقِصَاتْ أَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ أَذْهَبَ لِلُّبَ الرَّجُلَ الْحَاسِمِ مِنْ إِهْدَاكُنَّ مَا رَأَيْتُ مِن نَاقِصَاتْ دِينٍ وَأَقْلٍ. I didn't see anyone of those who have a defect in their aql, in their intellect, alaykum salam, and in their deen, in their worship of Allah. And the deen, Imam Nawawi said, refers to iman. Naam. And Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah, said, ad-deen wal iman wal taqwa, all of these things are the same. Al-huda, all of this is iman. Naam, all of this is iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I haven't seen anyone of those who have naqisat, naqisat aqlin wa deenin. Yani naqisat aqlin in their intellect, the defect in the intellect, of the women he's talking about. It's not that they have their brains are defective, something wrong with it, it's the wires are crossed or something. No. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that the woman, if she has to testify, be a witness to something dealing with financial matters, you should find two men. But if you can't find two men, find one man and two women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that one of them will remind the other one if she forgets. Okay, so this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. Not that their brains is something wrong with it. Okay, but rather, it's in reference to financial matters. Okay, otherwise, some women, for sure, are more intelligent than a lot of men. And even this hadith is a proof of that. The defect in their deen is clearly explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be what? That they pass many nights in which they don't pray, and which they don't, and days in Ramadan in which they don't fast, and that is when they have menses. They're not allowed to pray, not allowed to fast. Is that a blameworthy shortcoming? No, it's not a blameworthy shortcoming, because Allah, even if they prayed and fasted when they have menses, Allah would not accept it. That rather would be sinful for them to pray or fast in that condition. It's not permissible. So that's not a blameworthy defect. Rather, it's a defect in the sense that when a person prays less, and actions are part of iman, right? Then that means the iman goes down. When a person fasts less, and fasting is a part of iman, right? We read in Bukhari, As-siyam min al-iman. Now, then their iman goes down. So the defect in their deen is that when they do less deeds of righteousness, acts of obedience, then their iman decreases with that. Especially these important acts, the greatest of all acts, salat and siyam. Now, however, when a woman is not able to fast and she's not able to pray, and by the way, she has to make up those fasts, right? But she doesn't have to make up the prayers. When she's in that condition, she can make dhikr, she can make dua, she can do a lot of other things. She can give charity, she can do a lot of other acts so that her iman will not go down, rather it can still go up. But it is a defect in the fact that the person who does more good deeds, the iman increases. When they do less good deeds, it decreases. And this is a decrease in iman. So the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith makes us to know that there is such a thing as decrease in iman. From this hadith it's clear that there is naqisat deen wa aqlin. We're talking about the deen, the defect, the decrease in deen. And that is through the decrease in actions of righteousness or acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I didn't see anyone who's in this condition of defective aql and defective deen that is more able to take away the mind, the intellect of a resolute, discreet, strong man than you, meaning the women, he said. Min ihda kunna. He said, I didn't see anyone who has this condition that is described in this hadith who is more able to take the mind or the heart of a resolute, discreet, strong man. Do you know what that means? That means that women, in spite of their condition, they're able to control men. He said, I didn't see anybody like this except who is more able to control men than you, women. But the point, that's not the point of the hadith. The point of the hadith is what? That there is such a thing as decrease of iman, through decrease of deeds. And that's the point that we're talking about in this section here. We're talking about iman increases and decreases, and what are the proofs of that. Now I'll just quote quickly from Sufyan ibn Uyayna, one of the great scholars, imams of the people of hadith, died in the year 198 after the Hijrah. It was said to Ibn Uyayna, Al-Iman yazid wa yanqus, does iman increase and decrease? He said, Alaysa taqra'un al-Qur'an, do you not read the Qur'an? And then he recited some ayahs from the Qur'an that talk about what? Increase of iman. Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Okay, one of the two great scholars named Sufyan. Before him was Sufyan, Al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri. So, he mentioned, for example, Zadahum imana, that Allah increased him in iman, and this is mentioned in different places in the Quran. It was said to him, Yanqus, does iman also, okay, that's increase of iman, but does iman decrease? Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, Laysa shay'un yazidu illa wa huwa yanqus. There's nothing that increases except that it also decreases. Yani anything that increases also has the potential to decrease. If it can increase, it can also decrease. There's nothing that has the potential to increase except it also has the potential to decrease. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, I think the statement is in either Minhaj Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah or it's in the explanation of Aqidah Wasat here. I forgot where I copied it from. But in any case, he said that hum, meaning the Ahl Sunnah, they also say that iman increases and decreases. He said, فالقرآن قد دل على زيادته والضرورة العقلية تقتدي أن كل ما ثبت أنه يزيد فهو ينقص إذ لا يعقل الزيادة بدون نقص. He said, the Quran has indicated the increase of iman, and الضرورة العقلية, the rational necessity, يعني by rational necessity, يعني by reason and intellect, necessitate this reality that what? That everything which is confirmed to increase, then it also decreases. It's not rational, it's not acceptable, it's not possible that there can be ziyada and there not be yani naqs, that something can increase without decreasing. And then he mentioned some ayats about increase of iman, وزاد الذين آمنوا إيمانا, and he increased those who believed with iman, and so on. And the Shaykh also said in another place, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, if we accept for the sake of argument that there is no text present, we cannot find any text which confirms and nuks decrease of iman. Suppose we couldn't find any, and we already did find, right? Hadith of Hanzala, hadith of Naqisat, Aql al-Wadeen, and so on. Okay, but let's suppose there was no text confirming decrease of iman. He said, فَإِنَّ إِثْبَاتَ الزِّيَادَ مُسْتَلْزِمْ لِلنَّقْسِ. But then verily, the confirmation of increase of iman requires by necessity, لازم, مستلزم, لازم, of by necessity that there also be decrease. So we say, كُلُّ نَص يدل على زيادة الإيمان على زيادة الإيمان فإنه متضمن للدلالة على نقصه. That every text which indicates or points to increase of iman, فإنه متضمن, then it contains within it the indication of decrease. يعني there's دلالة متضمن, that we will see when we talk about أسماء والصفات. That means that there's an indication in a proof. Within it, there's a further indication of something else. And here, the Shaykh is saying that every text that indicates increase of iman, within it is the indication of decrease. And that is why, because there's nothing that increases except that it also has the potential to decrease. Naam. Question 39. Question 39. مَدْ دَلِيلْ عَلَى تَفَاضِلْ أَهْلَ الْإِيمَانِ فِيهِ. What is the proof or the evidence that the people of Iman differ, vary in reference to Iman, that some of them excel or exceed others? What is the proof for this? The Shaykh mentions a number of ayahs from the Quran, and he also mentions a hadith. From the ayahs of the Quran, he mentions Surah Al-Waqi'ah, ayahs 10 and 11, 56 surah, 10 and 11 ayat. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. That the السَّابِقُونَ, those who are first and foremost in the dunya, in this world, in iman and doing good deeds. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. That those who are first and foremost in iman and doing righteous deeds in this world, they will be the first and foremost in the Jannah, in the highest levels of Jannah. Naam. These are those who are al-muqarrabun, those who are nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are they? Those who are first and foremost, who are the outstanding people in iman and doing good deeds in this world. Then they will be having an outstanding position and reward with Allah in the next life. They are those who will be nearest to Allah. And then, after some ayats in the same surah, ayat 27, same surah 56, Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينِ. And the companions of the right hand. And what, or who are the companions of the right hand? I mean, what about the companions of the right hand? Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making clear, and what will be the reward for them in the ayats to follow this, that this is a different group of people. السَّابِقُونَ, يعني المقربون, those who are nearest to Allah and foremost, They are one group of people. And then on another level, there's Ashab al-Yameen. Companions of the right hand. Now, people receive their books in their right hand, who receive the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. But they're not on the level as the Sabiqoon, the Muqarrabun. That's the different people. And further, in the same surah, Waqiyah 56, in ayats 88 through 91, the Shaykh mentions, فَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. And as for this person, he's talking about the person at the time of death. If he is from the Muqarrabin, those who are nearest to Allah, فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ النَّعِيمِ. Then there will be for him rest, يعني راحة, and there will be risk, there will be provisions for him. And there will be what? A garden of pleasure, na'im. And who is that for? Muqarrabin. That's one group of people. They're on one level. وَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ. But as far as the one, if he was from the companions of the right hand, this is a different group of people, not the Muqarrabin. Muqarrabin is who? The Sabiqoon. So he said, but if he is from those people from Ashab al-Yameen, the people of the right, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ. Then there's salam, the salam of Allah alayka. And the salam of Allah be upon you. وَالسَّلَامَ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. And safety and security from the punishment of Allah in the next life. Naam. For who? For the Ashab al-Yameen. Because you are from the Ashab al-Yameen. So this is another group of people. Yani, in these ayats, Allah also differentiates between the Muqarrabun and the Ashab al-Yameen. That these are two levels of people of Iman. And more clear than all of this is the ayah that the Shaykh mentions from Fatir, Surah Fatir, 35th Surah, 32nd ayah. And this is the classic ayah that requires tafsir. And we don't have time really to read it, but I would love to read the tafsir of this ayah from Tafsir Ibn Kathir. If you have a chance to read it, please read it. Or the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, mashallah, beautiful tafsir concerning, or the tafsir of Shaykh al-Imam al-Shawkani. All of them explain this ayah in a very beautiful way, similar, but each one of them bringing some points out differently a little bit. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, 35:32, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Then we have caused those who we have chosen from our ibad, we have caused them to inherit the book. He gave the book as inheritance to some people, to who? Alladhina istafayna, those who we have chosen min ibadina, from our servants, our worshippers. Now who are the people who inherit the book? The believers, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what he's talking about. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the ummah of Muhammad, they are not all the same on one level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here what? فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. From amongst the people who inherit the book, from the ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people who be in Jannah. Naam, whatever comes with it, I mean a person may be punished or whatever according to what they have done in this world, but they will be in Jannah if they died on Tawheed, right? He said, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. From amongst them are those who wrong their own selves. Who are the ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ? Those people who engage in some muharramat, prohibited things. And those people who fall short in some of the wajibat, the obligatory duties, they didn't do them all. They did some of them, they fell short in some of them. So these are what? Zalim li nafsihi. Person who wronged his own self. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And some are those who are muqtasid, meaning they took the middle course. They're in the middle. They're not like those who wrong themselves, and they're not like the people who are the superior people. But they're in the middle course, and who are they? They are the people who fulfill the obligatory duties. They didn't fall short in the obligatory duties. But they didn't go any further than that, to the mustahab and extra nawafil and stuff. Huh? And they avoided the muharramat, the haram things. But they may not have avoided the makruhat. Okay, so they took the middle course. They just did the bare minimum. All the obligatory duties, they did them, but they didn't do no extra. The things that's haram, they stayed away from them, but they didn't stay away from things that are makruh. So that is the muqtasid. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And from amongst them, from the chosen, from the servants of Allah that Allah has given the book as inheritance to, are some who are سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. Those who are foremost in doing khayrat, good deeds, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They are foremost what? In doing good deeds by the permission of Allah. And these people should not imagine that they are better than other people. But rather they have been foremost in doing good deeds by Allah's favor, by the permission of Allah. That's the tawfiq that comes from Allah. They are humble people because they know that they have excelled others bi-idhnillah. by the permission of Allah. Not because they're greater or better than other people, but Allah has favored them. That's Allah's favor, that He gives whoever He wills. And if they know that, they will be humbled. Because they know they are the foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. And this is the great favor that Allah has given this book to these people, to His ummah. But in this ayah it is clear that what? Some of them are wrongdoers who have wronged their own selves, and some of them are the muqtasid who just do the bare minimum, and some of the sabiqun bi khairat who do all of the obligatory duties, and they do things that are mustahab, the mustahabbat, more than obligatory duties. And they avoid the haram things, and they also avoid the makruhat. Not just that was haram, but even that's makruh. It's not really haram, it's just makruh. Nah, we leave it anyway. We leave it anyway. And they even avoid some of the things that are permissible. Permissible. Some permissible things. Because sometimes there are some things, if you over-engage in them, it could lead you into trouble. Nah. So the Shaykh mentions these ayats, and these ayats are crystal clear what? That there is tafadl. That some people excel others. Some people are superior to others in iman. All the people of iman are not equal. They are not equal. Not in this world, nor in the next. And then the Shaykh mentions the hadith. Hadith al-Shafa'a. What is hadith al-Shafa'a? Hadith related to intercession. Intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah. That some people would intercede. That the prophets would intercede. The martyrs would intercede. Whoever would intercede. There would be intercession. Allah would allow, by His permission, some people to intercede. With the condition that the people intercede are the people of Tawheed, who Allah is pleased with. And the people they intercede for are the people of Tawheed. They will not be able to intercede for people of Shirk. The person died on Shirk, khalas, the matter is finished. There is no discussion. They can't bring a lawyer or anything. Not 18B or anything else. Counselor can't help himself. If he died on Kufr, it's over. Hadith al-Shafa'a. In this hadith, the Shaykh mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove from the fire man kana fi qalbihi waznu dinarin min imanin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from the hellfire the one who has in his heart the amount of iman that's equal to the weight of a dinar, a gold coin. Thumma man kana fi qalbihi nisfu dinarin min imanin. And then after that, those who have in their heart the iman that's equal to a half of a dinar. That means here's some people that got iman, what? Equal to a dinar, weight of a dinar. And other people got iman equal to not even a dinar, half of a dinar. These are different people. And these people Allah will remove first, and then those who have less iman, He'll remove them after. There's a difference, right? There's a difference. The more iman a person has, the better position they're going to be in. That's a fact. And this is the reason why if we believe that iman increase and decrease, we should be very, very careful to avoid those things that decrease iman. And we should be eager and energetic about doing the things that increase in iman. And here I mention the book of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abbad, his book, The Increase, The Asbab, The Reasons for Increase and Decrease of Iman. It's about 200 pages. Excellent book, explaining many of the things that increase iman and the things that decrease iman, from within yourself and outside of yourself. What are the things that a person can do to increase their iman, and what are the things they should avoid that cause decrease in iman? Critical that a person read this, study it, read it again, study it, apply it, work on it until you get it, as much of it as is possible. Because this is going to be the determining factor in this world and in the next life. And the Shaykh also mentions in another narration of the hadith, يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارُ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَكَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ مَا يَزِنُ شَعِيرَةً. That a person would come out of the hellfire who said La ilaha illallah, and he had in his heart an amount of khair, of goodness, that is equal to the weight of a barley seed. And in some of the narrations in Bukhari, he said, Man kana fi qalbihi min iman. In this narration, he said, Min al khair. But in some of the narrations, he said, Min al iman. So here, khair means what? The one who has in his heart, khair, meaning the iman, that's equal to a seed of barley. Barley seed, that's nothing. But he will come out of the hellfire. And he'll be punished now for his sins that Allah didn't forgive. But he will come out. ثُمَّ يَخْرُجْ مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَكَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ مَا يَزِنُ بُرَّةً. Then a person will come out of the hellfire who said La ilaha illallah. And he had in his heart that which, of the amount of khair or amount of iman that was equal to the weight of a seed of wheat. And notice that he said in this hadith, right? من قال لا إله إلا الله وكان في قلبه. يعني the person who said the speech, right? Iman speech, لا إله إلا الله. And he had in his heart, on his tongue, he had in his heart, Iman, equal to a seed of wheat. ثم يخرج من النار من قال لا إله إلا الله وكان في قلبه من الخير ما يزن ذرة. Then, after that, person came out who said what? Who said لا إله إلا الله. And he, يعني he said in this world, he said لا إله إلا الله. He testified that there's nothing deserved worship except Allah when he was in the dunya. As a result of him saying that, and because he had some kind of iman in his heart, he would eventually come out of the hellfire. Yani no person would say La ilaha illallah sincerely from their heart, except that, Ya Rahmukullah, it will save them one day. It will save them. Even if, whatever, asabahum ma asabahum, of punishment in the hellfire, but they would eventually get out. As opposed to the people who don't have any iman, they will remain in the hellfire eternally, forever and ever and ever. It never ends. Naam. That is unfathomable. How can anybody imagine a person being punished in the worst kind of punishment imaginable forever and ever and ever? If anybody has ever been punished, you can have an idea. Maybe your mother punished you or your father punished you. Or these people, maybe you was in prison and they tortured you. Now, they be torturing people, killing people and stuff. If anybody imagine punishment, subhanAllah, imagine what happened to the mind of the person who knows it will never end. Like if a person has hope, it's going to end one day though. One day I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to escape from this. I'm going to be released. But it's never going to end. Naam. Allahumma musta'an. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. And then he said, the person who will be released from hellfire who said, La ilaha illallah in this world, and he had in his heart, the amount of khair, the amount of iman that's equal to a dharra, an atom's weight, or whatever is the smallest thing that you can imagine of iman. And this hadith is a clear proof what? That some of the people, that they will be on different levels. Some people will come out, even though they have a little bit of iman, like a seed of barley, and other people will come out after them, who have a little bit of iman, like a seed of wheat, and some people will come out who have a little bit of, less than all of that, the littlest thing you can imagine, a dharra of iman, atom's weight of iman, or whatever, a small ant. Naam. Whatever almost has no weight whatsoever. So these, this hadith is a very, very clear proof, what? Along with those ayahs from the Quran, that the people of Iman are not the same. And therefore a person, knowing that, should not be content and satisfied that I have some Iman, whatever I get from it, I'm good to go. Rather, a person wants more Iman. It's easy. It's easy. It's not really difficult. A person can do the easiest of things, like saying La ilaha illallah, like saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. كلمتان ثقيلتان أو خفيفتان على اللسان. Two words that are very light on the tongue. That means it's easy to say. And they are heavy. ثقيلتان في الميزان. Heavy on the scales. حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ. They are beloved to Allah, Ar-Rahman. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. What could be easier than that? These are from the deeds that are easy to say, and they are weighty on the scales, and they are beloved to Ar-Rahman. Just say Subhanallah from your heart, knowing what it means and believing it. Just say it all day. Whenever you get, you come back to your senses, after you were insane, you forgot about Allah. You come back to your senses, Subhanallah وَبِحَمْدِهِ Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-Azim. What's easier than that? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Naam. What's easier than meeting your brother or your sister with a smile? Brother meeting a brother with a smile. Sister meeting a sister with a smile. A kind word, kalimat tayyibah. What's easier than that? What could be easier than that? Just say a kind word to somebody. All of this is weighty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what increased iman, and which will be rewardable for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to Him and to leave that which is displeasing to Him. Question number 40. مَدْ دَلِيلَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَشْمَلُ الدِّينِ كُلَّهُ عِنْدَ الْإِطْلَاقِ. Yani what is the proof? The dalil that iman includes, encompasses the whole of the deen when the word iman is used, yani عِنْدَ الْإِطْلَاقِ, yani when it's mentioned in its general unrestricted form, usage. And when you say iman, using it in its unrestricted form, not giving it any definition, but just general, the word iman. What is the proof that it includes the whole of the deen? That iman includes what we normally call Islam. And iman includes what we normally call ihsan. And iman includes huda and taqwa. And it includes all of that. Naam. What is the proof of that? The Shaykh, he mentions the hadith, which he said, fi hadith waft Abd al-Qais. The hadith of the delegation of Abd al-Qais. And in the hadith, he mentions a number of things. From amongst them, he said, that I command you. And they asked him, some people came from some place, and they said, tell us some things before we go back, they can help us. The Prophet ﷺ said, I command you with iman in Allah alone. I command you to have iman billahi wahda. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهِ. I command you to have iman in Allah alone. But then he asked them, do you know what is iman in Allah alone? Do you know what that is? Because he has ordered you with something, maybe they don't really know what it is. Maybe they think it's something else. So he asked them, but do you know what it is? And sometimes we don't ask the question. We tell somebody something, then we don't ask them, do they know what it is? We don't ask them, do you understand? We just go on assuming that everybody understands. People don't understand. And therefore, it's incumbent upon me and you to ask. If the person tells us something, it's incumbent upon us to ask. Because maybe we don't really understand. It's incumbent upon us to ask, well, what does that actually mean? Because the person who's telling you might not be like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask you, do you know what I've said? Do you know what it means? They might not ask you that. They might just assume you know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the best of humanity. He's the best teacher. So he know to ask the people. But everybody don't ask. Some people just tell you, do this and do that. They're going about their business. And you don't ask, you don't say nothing, so then you'd be lost. And they said, well, I didn't know. 10 years later, I didn't know that's what he meant. He didn't ask, did you know? And you didn't ask. You didn't ask him, what does he mean? But the Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you know? أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهِ. They said, Allah wa Rasuluhu alim. Allah and His Messenger knows best. He said, شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ وإيتاء الزكاة وأن تؤتوا أو تؤدوا من المغنم الخمس. يعني the meaning of having iman in Allah alone. Iman. Okay? He didn't say what is the meaning of Islam. Buni al-Islam al-Khams. He didn't say that, right? He said, do you know what is having iman in Allah alone? He said, it is the bearing witness, the testimony that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Shahadatain. And the establishment of the salat, that is the performance of the prayers 5 times a day, and the fulfillment of zakat, the charity, the obligatory charity, and so on, and that you also fulfill, that is that you give the khumus, which is the fifth of the spoils of war, from the booty of war, that it be given. 1/5 of it is for Allah and His Messenger, and the rest is to be distributed to the people who fought in the battle. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith is a proof of what? It's a proof that al-iman, when it's used in its general, unrestricted sense, mutlaq, that it includes what we normally call Islam. It includes salat and zakat and siyam and so on. Naam. In reality, this hadith is a proof that al-iman billahi wahda is the foundation of everything. And that's why Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said in a discussion that he had about the person who's on their dying bed, do they have to add to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah? He said, no. Because La ilaha illallah is the foundation of the matter. And Muhammad Rasulullah is a branch from that. If a person says La ilaha illallah, that's it. You don't have to tell him to say Muhammad Rasulullah. When the Jewish boy, and somebody asked this question last week, and that's why I wanted to bring it up today. But anyway, if we have a chance, we'll talk about it later. The Jewish boy, when he was dying, and the Prophet said, Ya Ghulam, Qul La ilaha illallah. He didn't say to him, oh boy, say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He told him, say La ilaha illallah. And the boy looked to his father, what should I do? Father told him, obey him, obey Abu Qasim. So he said, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah. That's all he said. He didn't say, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah. And Allah took his soul. And the Prophet said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi najahu biya min al-nar. Alhamdulillah, who has saved him through me from the hellfire. By La ilaha illallah. That's the root of the matter. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, I command you to have iman in Allah alone, that is the foundation of the whole matter. Everything else branched from that. So he said, do you know what it means? They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, it is these two testimonies, shahadatain, that no person can enter Islam without them. And he said, it is salat and zakat and so on. So this is the proof of what? This is the proof that al-iman, when it's used in its absolute, unrestricted form, that it includes the whole of the deen. And by the way, we could say here that this point is, as some of the scholars said, إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ افْتَرَقَ وَإِذَا افْتَرَقَ اجْتَمَعَ, that these two things, Islam and Iman, when they come together, and when both of them are used in the same sentence, افْتَرَقَ, then they separate, meaning they have their own separate meanings. But when they are mentioned separately, اجْتَمَعَ, then they come together. In that, each one of them, if it's mentioned by itself, it includes the meaning of the other. So when a person says Iman, it also includes Islam. And when a person says Islam, it also includes Iman. But if he mentions both of them, Islam and Iman, then each has their own meaning. Generally speaking, Islam refers to what? The physical actions that the Muslim does. Salat and Zakat and Siyam and Hajj, like this. And Iman refers to the things of the heart, believing Allah and the angels, the books and the prophets and so on, like this. Naam. That was question what? 39? Oh, that was 40. Naam. Fine. Okay, question 41. Question 41. ما الدليل على تعريف الإيمان بالأركان الستة عند التفصيل? What is the proof, the evidence, the delil of defining Iman with a different definition? What definition? The six pillars of Iman, أركان الإيمان الستة. What is the proof that it's permissible that you can define Iman as being the six pillars? In the tafsil, yani when you are being more specific, not using the mutlaq sense, but in the specific sense of Iman. When you want to talk about Iman specifically, what is the proof that it can be defined in this way? He said the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when Jibril alayhi salam, when he said to Jibril alayhi salam, لَمَّا قَالَ لَهُ Jibril, Jibril said to him alayhi salam, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنَ الْإِيمَانِ, yani Jibril said to him, what is Islam? And he told him, Buni al-Islam, the five things are the pillars of Islam. Then he said, Akhbirni an al-Iman. Tell me what is Iman. And in the other part of the hadith, he said, what? Tell me about al-Ihsan. So this shows the levels of the deen. Start with Islam, and then Iman, and then Ihsan, which is the highest level and the most exclusive aspect of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Akhbirni an al-Iman. Tell me about Iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, And tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa al-yawm al-akhir. وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. Now what is Iman? Iman, this is the definition of Iman that came from the Prophet ﷺ. He said, what is Iman? Iman is to believe in Allah and His angels and His books, His revelations and His messengers and the last day, the day of judgment, and to believe in the divine decree, the good of it and the evil of it. And he repeated here, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. He said, what? تؤمن أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله ويوم الآخر. To believe in Allah and the angels and the books. And then he repeated, and to believe again for the divine decree. To emphasize the great importance of believing in the divine decree, the good of it and the evil of it. This is to emphasize this great matter. And this is perhaps because the Prophet ﷺ knew that some people would come who would deviate from this fundamental foundation of Islam, from the pillars of Iman. Some people will deviate in this manner and go astray. Some of them went out of Islam completely because they misunderstood this. It's required, it's a necessity. We believe in the divine decree. And whoever understands it well, it will make their life easy in this world. When you understand that nothing happens except by the decree of Allah. That whatever happens, whether good or bad, is by the permission of Allah. Nothing can happen unless Allah allows it. Whether it's something that He loves or that He doesn't love. Nothing happens except Allah allows it. Nothing happens except by the decree of Allah. And Allah never decrees, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, any decree for the believer, except that it's good for him. Allah never decrees a decree for the believer except that it's good for him. Whatever Allah has decreed for you is good for you, even though you might not think so. You must know that it's good for you. Because Allah is, He's the one who decrees. He is the Rabb who has complete control. Tayyib, quickly, the Shaykh, he mentions here, okay, so these two questions should make us to know that Iman, when it's used in the mutlaq sense, in the absolute unrestricted sense, it includes the whole of the deen of Allah. But when it's mentioned in this more specific sense, then it means those pillars of Iman that are mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel. Question number 42. ما دليلها من الكتاب جملة. What is the proof for these pillars of Iman, these six pillars of Iman, from the book, yani from the Quran as a whole, overall, جملة. The saying of the Prophet, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 177th ayat. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. That is not birr, it's not righteousness, simply turning your face to the east or to the west, as the Christians and the Jews turn to the east or to the west. This alone is not birr, righteousness. And birr is iman, just like taqwa is iman. Okay, so this ayah is being used what? As a proof of the things that that the Muslims have to believe in, jumlatan, as a whole, these pillars of iman. It is not righteousness, it's not iman that a person turn their face to the east and the west, simply doing that alone. وَلَكَنَ الْبِرُ But really, birr is what? Whoever believes in Allah and the last day and the angels and the book. Here meaning the books and the prophets. And these are five of the six pillars of Iman. And then the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Qamar, 54th, Surah 49th ayat, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ That indeed everything, we have created it with a measure. Yani we have restricted it to a certain bounds that Allah has set for that thing in terms of everything related to it. It has been decreed, it has been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh says, and we will mention inshaAllah the proof for each one of these pillars of Iman separately, individually. Yani in quick questions that come down the line. And I would like to go to the next two questions, but I'd rather not rush. So, perhaps there's a question that somebody may have. Yeah, better that we don't rush. Perhaps there's a question that somebody has. A question. In any case, before we do that though, I do want to say something that's important, and that is that whoever has a copy of this book, or who can get a copy of it on the internet, or download it, or any place, or anywhere, whatever, please, yani, try to read before you come to class. Read it carefully, reflect upon it, and research it, and read other books. Inshallah, we're going to be recommending some books in these days during the course of this class. And I would hope that you would put aside some money to buy some books, if you don't have them already. Some of these books are very, very important books. Most of them are easy books that a person can read and benefit from without any great difficulty. You know, so please, if you have a copy of the book, use it. Read it a lot. Read it as much as possible. Don't just bring it to class and read it while you're in class. But rather, the purpose of having it is so you can read it when you're not in class. So during the week, you could be reading it. So you can read it once or twice or three times. You can memorize some of the evidences from the Quran or from the Sunnah. And look them up in the books of Tafsir and the books of Hadith. Try to learn more about it. Don't be satisfied with what we're discussing in this 1 hour. Rather, go further than that. Excel. Be like the Sabiqoon, who will be Al-Muqarrabun, the nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be like those who are Sabiqoon bil khayrati bi idhnillah. Those who yani, excel others in doing khayrat by the permission of Allah. But this requires that a person has to have it in their heart, a desire to do so. And then they have to actually make some effort. Not just wish and dream and hope that I'll be from the Sabiqoon without doing anything. It doesn't happen like that. That's not real life. That's just in a dream. Now, you could dream like that, maybe. You might could dream anything. You might dream you in Jannah, but that doesn't mean anything. You'll wake up, you'll find yourself in the hell, in this cesspool. Huh? This is the insane asylum, right? You know it is. All these crazy people around here. So I'm saying that make an effort, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, make an effort, like have it in your heart a desire to excel. And then work hard, read and study, and try to excel in understanding and practicing by the permission of Allah. Ask Allah's help. Ask for His tawfiq. Ask Allah to give you success in trying to do what's good, to be better, to increase your iman, and to avoid the things that decrease iman, to increase your sincerity in your heart, so that you are doing it purely for the sake of Allah alone. And then ask for help from Allah, and ask for help from one another. Help each other, remind one another, support one another. Try to do better. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma. وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. If there's any question, we could probably take a couple of questions.